The floors are different. The carpet's different. Been a while since I've been here. It's so good to be here. It's good to be back home. Blake, good to see y'all. I didn't know y'all was here, but it's good to see each one of you. Little update on me. I will not be here Wednesday night, but I will be back by next Sunday. I got to go back to Illinois this next week, but I hope that we're getting that to a point that I can be here at least on weekends for a while. I do hate being gone. For those of you that ask, I have not started sounding like someone from up north yet, although I can switch gears if I need to. I have learned the way to talk up north, and I believe I can get by with it. Joe and Dylan that went with me this last week, they said you can get by with it. So I've learned to throw my accent. I know it's hard to believe, but I can throw it. I can sound like a Yankee. I can say that. My wife and mother-in-law is Yankees. Who's made a difference in your life? The preacher. When I was young. Neil Penny. He was my preacher. If I think back of when I was a young man, Neil Penny was the first one that comes to my mind, him and Brother Hugo McCord. And he would come to Atwood a lot and preach. But Neil Penny would have to be my childhood preacher. My teenage preacher that I remember. Bill Irby. Bill Irby baptized me. I'll never forget when I went down into the baptistry. He whoever was helping me there at the time, they said, "Hold on, don't slip and fall." Bill Irby looked at my feet. He said, "That boy can't fall." Bill Irby was the one that come over and told me that my granddaddy had died. Well, Bill Irby was my preacher, teenage. Those two men impacted my life. My dad, my mom, they impacted my life. My wife, she's a lot older than I am. And when I married her, she helped raise me because I was just turned 18 when I got married. So Wendy impacted my life. We've been married for 31 years. We'll be this year or next year or last year. It's in the 30-year range that we're in. So Wendy's impacted my life. Three elders that I first knew when I started learning how a church was set up and how that we had elders and how we had deacons. My first elders that I remember was E.D. Utley, Phil Clark, and Dan McCormick. Those are the three at Atwood that I remember. But since that time, there's been a lot of elders that's impacted my life. I have preached at several congregations, and I always take what the elders say, and I have relationships with elders, and those men have impacted my life over the years. So my question to you is this morning, who is it that has changed your life? Who is it that you think back that made an impact or made a difference in your life? Who is that? Don't have time. I wouldn't embarrass anybody anyway. But it would be interesting to go around, and we're not going to, and start and say, who is it that impacted your life? I know everybody has someone come to your mind, so with that in mind, why? What did that person or that individual do that changed your life so much that you remember all these years and you say, they have impacted and they have changed my life and they've helped me to become who I am today? In Acts chapter 9, while you're thinking about that, starting with verse 1, we read of a story that we all know very well about Saul. Saul was in the process of of threatening and, according to verse 1, and hurting the church and trying to destroy the church. It says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him to him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And verse 4, it says, "He fell on the earth and heard a voice saying, unto you, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Verse 5 said, "And he said, who are thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." Who has impacted your life? For just a few minutes, I want you to consider and I want you to think about Jesus. I led you to go a wrong way by talking about preachers and talking about elders and Wendy and my mom and dad, and they all impacted my life. But you know, as I studied this lesson, I prepared this lesson, I thought to myself, really, it should be Jesus. Who has changed your life? Who has impacted your life? Who is it that you hold up here in front of you, high on a pedestal in your life, and say, who is the one that's changed me? Folks, it needs to be Jesus. It needs to be Jesus for each and every one of us, that is the one that has changed us and made us who we are. What are we? Hopefully everybody in here is Christian. Most everybody, I think, is. If it happens to be one or more in here today that's not a child of God, then we're going to sing a song in just a few minutes that we're going to encourage you to think about your life, think about your soul, think about your condition, think about where you're going to spend eternity. But I'm going to tell you, if you're here this morning and you believe, and we're going to talk about believe in just a few minutes, but if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to turn away from your sin, repent of those sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, then today, as David talked about in his class this morning, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can be a child of God. And then Jesus will have changed your life. So what is it that builds us? What is it that drives us? What is it that makes us think of things that's important to us in this life? You know, Jesus is a name above all names. The Hebrew, the word salvation means Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. There's not a one of us that does not want to be saved. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is a verse that we all know and we all use, and it talks about believing. It talks about the love that God had for us and has for us, and that he wants all of us to be saved. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but that they should have everlasting life." That is the relationship that we have with Jesus. So what does Jesus mean to me? Is Jesus my Lord? Is Jesus my King? Is Jesus my friend? Is Jesus the Christ that we worship? Who is Jesus to each one of us? John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So when we think about the one that impacted, the one that changed our life so greatly, we're talking about Jesus, who has always been. You see, I think Neil Penny and Bill Irby are great, great men. I would like to be just a little bit of what they are. But as good as Neil was, and as good as Bill still is today, they're not anything in comparison to my Lord. Because we're talking about Jesus, who was from the beginning. That when God created everything, that Jesus was there. He had all of us in mind when the creation was being done. He had us in mind today, and He loves us today in the same way. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says this. He says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But Jesus carried it a step further for each one of us. He said, "I'm going to go to the earth. I'm going to live on the earth. I am going to leave the perfect example for all to follow, and then I'm going to die on the cross so that they can have forgiveness of their sins. I'm going to allow my blood to wash away all their sins." And He did that. So what does Jesus mean to me? I can't help but look down at Nick when I'm up here preaching, and I love him so much. He's like a younger brother to me. I'll call Nick, and I know he hates it. I know he does when I call GNC, and he'll say it's my caller ID, and he'll say, "What is it?" "Oh, I meant to ask for someone else, Nick. I'm sorry." And I'll call him with something difficult, and I'll say, "Can you get this for me?" He said, "I'll try. I'll see what I can do." And most time he comes through. And I depend a lot on Nick. Hey, if he's not there, I just wait. If I call Miss Sherry and says he's out, I say, "Okay, I'll call back." Because I want to talk to Nick. I depend on him. Not just for hydrant parts. I depend on him for a friendship and love and encouragement. You got someone you depend on? Nick cannot compare to Jesus. As much as I love and appreciate and depend on Nick, he cannot compare to Jesus in our lives today. And that's what Jesus done for us. He came here, He lived on this earth, and He died on the cross, and He became flesh so that we can live. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Jesus is the Word we just talked about. He's the gospel, the good news. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." Who's impacted your life? Will we stand up today and say, "Jesus"? Will we stand up to say it today and say, "The Lord has impacted my life. Christ is the one that I hold center in everything that I have today"? Or do we put that on the back burner and we look at man today and we say, "This man or this woman has impacted my life so great"? And I'm not taking away from those relationships. But you see, the world today wants us to hold on to heroes today on this earth. Whether we're talking about basketball, baseball, football, whatever it may be, our commercials, our television, our media wants us to hold on to a man today or a woman today and say, "That person is my hero." And yet Jesus is our hero. He is the one that we pattern our life for. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of this." So do we put Jesus out in the front where we should, or do we put him in the back burner and allow the world to control who we say is most important in our life? David in class today done an outstanding job, and I started to speak up and say this. Just this last week, I was up at Crystal Lake at the congregation there, a congregation about our size, maybe a little bit smaller up there. Great congregation appears to be, and every time I'm there, it seems to be scriptural. Everything seems to go as it should. And a man that I've been talking to over the last several times I've been up there struck up some likeness and conversation. So every time he's drawn to me and we sit and talk. And he's going through some bad things in his life right now. And this last time I said, I really hate that you're having to deal with this right now. And I said, I promise you, I will be praying for you. He said, Tim, pray that I will accept the outcome. And I thought for a minute, I said, I will. He said, because it's going to be what it's going to be. But I just hope I can accept it. And I told him that he could. I told him with God's help and God's strength that he gives us, that he'll pray for that, for God. I believe that God will help us to overcome the challenges that we have in our life, that God will be with us and help us to endure, that the Word of God is where we get our comfort. But I could not help but think about him this morning when David was talking about that class, or in class today, about prayer and about our need for prayer. And really, that's what we want at the end of the day. We want to be able to find strength and find happiness and find endurance in our life, that we know that we can get to where we want to be. The one thing we don't like is roadblocks, hiccups, obstacles in our life where we say, I cannot overcome this particular obstacle. David asked me this morning in class, what did Jesus say? Well, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When we come to those obstacles, when we come to those walls, those things in our life that we think we can't get through, we know that we can because we get our strength from Jesus. The very one that we're talking about this morning. Well, how do we do that? Well, I told you we was going to talk about belief. You know, there's great power in belief. If you believe something. I know I've used this illustration before. It was W.A. Bradfield that had it in his book, and he was talking about a man who stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And the man proceeded to walk from one side to the other. And then they handed him a wheelbarrow, and they put a wheelbarrow on the tightrope, and he began to push the wheelbarrow back and forth across the rope. And then he stopped, and he said, how many of y'all believe that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push them across and bring them back again? A man standing on the front row said, oh, I believe it. I believe you could put a person in, push them across and bring them back. He said, well, get in. He said, oh, no. No, not me. I'm not getting in there. You see, he believed, but he didn't really believe. And that's what we're talking about as Christians, is having the power of that belief that we need to have. The power and the belief in Jesus. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says this, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not will be damned. They will be lost. So how much power is there in believing? Believing that Jesus is Lord, that he is God. In Psalms 9 and verse 14, David said he would rejoice in God's salvation. You know, Jesus brings life. Jesus brings salvation. And Jesus is a wonderful name to each one of us. What does Jesus mean to you today? We're about to stand and sing an invitation song, a song of encouragement for you, for each one of us, whether we're a Christian or not a Christian. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then we're going to be encouraging you to think about your life, think about your soul, think about where you stand. Are you willing to give and turn your life around today for the one who loves you more than anyone else could possibly love you? I hope and I pray that if you're here and you are not a Christian, that you will come forward confessing your faith and being baptized for the remission of your sins. But you know, that invitation is not only for those who's not Christians. That invitation is for those of us who are Christians. Those of us who are Christians who are struggling. struggling with our relationship with God, struggling with our life, realizing that we have sinned, we may have fallen away, we may be struggling with things in our life. We may need some encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's an invitation song as well, an encouragement song, that we come forward confessing our faults, confessing our faith, and asking each one of us to help us to overcome what may be in our life. And to ask God to forgive us and to help us. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, our prayer is that you will come while we stand and sing.